Hey. ודבא שם משה בא סיני רימור, דבא בני ישרו ומאת עליהם, כי סבור על ארץ השני נרצונכם, ונקם תרן אגיב יו, ושפסה ארץ שבס לשם. What is ושפסה ארץ שבס לשם? What? The land should, what?
The land should rest.
The land should, or in English you say the land should lie fallow. You know the word fallow?
No.
Okay, that's what it means. The land should lie fallow. Sheshanim, the Pasuk Gimel, Sheshanim Tizrik Sadecha, Vesheshanim Tizmer Kamecha. 6 years you plant, Vesachas Tvasa, Ubshana Shavias Shabbos Shabbos and Yilaritz. In the seventh year will be Shemitah. Now, the question I'm asking you, which I want you to answer, is that it's really out of order here. In the order of this pasukim, to us, we don't understand it. It says, Hashem said to Moshe, when you come to the land, let the land lie fallow. 6 years you should work. The seventh year. Wow. So what should it start with? When does Shemitah start?
Seventh.
The seventh year. It does. When you come into the land of Israel, what's first?
6 years.
Work the land 6 years, and then do Shemitah. Why is the first thing it says, when you come to the land, do Shemitah? What does that mean? That's my question to you.
Isn't it the same thing about Shabbos?
What?
Isn't the same thing about Shabbos? It's not the desert, no one dated. The day you come off the Shabbos?
Tell me again, I don't understand what you're saying.
Sorry, isn't the same thing but part of the fact that if somebody's lost in the desert, doesn't know what day it is, he assumes the day that he got lost, the Shabbos, no? Even though Kadosh Baruch Hu created the day 7 days later. Is that the same thing?
Why should it be the same thing?
So here you are, even though in order, it really is. So,
but you know what you're saying here? You're saying that when the Jews came to Eretz Yisrael, they didn't know when Shemitah was, so the first year they made Shemitah. That's not true. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Why is that not true?
Because it's not true. That's not the way it happened. It's not true. They planted and they ate. And it says in the Pasuk in Yeshua, they planted and they ate.
Is that the first year that unkept?
After the seventh year after coming to Israel.
Does it start from
Does it start after Yerusha and... the Muhammad, I think that's after that.
So the 6 years started after.
I think it's right after that.
So like
43 years. Yeah. Okay, let's go on.
It starts at Rosh Hashanah.
Yeah.
Meaning Shemitah's over after Motzei Rosh Hashanah this year? Or the beginning?
Yeah. No, Shemitah's over after the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Okay? No, Shemitah's over at the end, before Rosh Hashanah, I'm sorry. She's over the last day of Elul. Okay, let's go on. A famous question. I want to hear some type of answers. There's about 50 answers to this question. I want to hear something from you. What?
Maybe Yeshua has something.
What do you mean?
He didn't hear the question.
Well,
he's jumping.
Yeshua was jumping.
You have something to say?
Okay.
I'm just
a little
edgy.
You're a little
edgy.
Okay. You talk to Hanani, he's always edgy. Okay, now. Pasuk Vav and Zion. Vayze Shabbos Aretz Lechem Lacha Lacha Ravdacha Ramsacha Lschich Ratasha Garim Imach. The seventh year, you're going to eat, your slaves will eat, everyone can eat the land. Pasuk Zayin, Ulevhem Techa Chaya Sheba Tzacha Tiyakol Tvaz Lecha. And then your animals could eat. Twice in the Torah, it says this. And both times, it's a question. Because we know that when it comes to animals and your and people, who gets first? What? Animals get first. We know that. Twice it says by Noah, if I'm not mistaken, it says, you will eat and your animals will eat. And here. So forget about Noah, but here. Why did you say you will eat and your animals will eat? We always know your animals come before you. Okay? Where do we know it from? What pasuk? Shema. Very good. What pasuk? What? You're blanking?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyone, what pasuk in Shema? Uh-huh. Okay. Maybe one day you'll know. Okay, that's the question. That's the question. What? Shimon? Yeah, what is it? Shimon, go ahead. It says that in Shema?
No.
What was the last time you said Shema?
It sounded off. Shimon, save half the reason. Not a tricky.
Okay. I gotta send it to your father. Okay. 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 So the other day, a couple weeks ago, I asked you a chai achicha question. Remember, I asked you a chai achicha question. Remember, I asked you a question based on the chai achicha imach. Okay, but this week also, it says in this week's parsha, Chav Hei Lamed something. Stop making noises. Atikach mito neshech v'sarvis v'reitz v'chacha v'chai achicha imach. What do we learn from
week? I need to go for a walk. I'm very edgy.
Whoa. I tell you, stand up against the wall. Okay. Yeah, no. He's too close to you guys. No. V'chai achicha imach. Chayacha Kodman. That we know, Chayacha Kodman. We know. And we learned it from this week's parsha. There's a very, very famous question. I like to ask these famous questions. I want to hear your answers. It says that you have an Eved Ivri. And if you have one pillow, who gets it? Why? Why do you give it to him? What?
Shimon.
Does anybody know? Shimon, yeah. Oh, but we learned from a pasuk. What pasuk did we learn it from? No, Tov Lo Imach. Since Tov Lo Imach, so he has to be, Tov with you, so he gets it first. So now, Chai Achicha Imach, you get it first. Tov La Imach, he gets it first. It's the same Imach. Why by Chai Achicha Imach, it's you first. Then by Tov La Imach, same words, he gets it first. It's a very classic question asked by the Pan Zhirov. The Pan Zhirov asked this question. Okay, let's learn. Whenever I give some mussar, it usually happens that the guys who I want to give it to are not here. That's usually, the guys who need the mussar are not here. The guys who don't need the mussar are here. Wow, David, you don't need mussar. What? Wow. Yeah. I said, David, listen. this is the season of Rabbi Kiva. And last night I heard, people singing something about Rabbi Kiva. And all about Rabbi Kiva and his Talmidim. Rabbi Kiva was Nam Oritz Gomer. Rabbi Kiva was Gomer. But don't think Rabbi Kiva was stupid. Rabbi Kiva was a genius. You don't become Rabbi Kiva, you're not a genius, okay? You know, I know he learned well. I know he learned Hasmada Rabbah. But you don't become Rabbi Kiva, you're not a genius. Rabbi Kiva was a genius. Just he never learned. He never learned. His father never sent him to yeshiva. And he, you know, whatever his father brought him up as, that's what he was. He never knew anything. Can you imagine Rabbi Kiva went to yeshiva with his third grade with his son? They went to school. He brought his son to school, and his son sat down in one of these little chairs. Then Rabbi Kiva also, together with his son. The Medrash says that. That's exactly what happened. And then when the Rebbe said Aleph, Rabbi Kiva said Aleph, and Rabbi Kiva's son said Aleph. And then the Rebbe said Beis, and Rabbi Kiva's son said Beis, and Rabbi Kiva said Gimel. And his son said, hey, what are you doing? It's Beis, not Gimel. You know, can you imagine going to school with your son to third grade? That's what Rabbi Kiva had to go through. But Rabbi Kiva, all happened because he was walking past a rock, and he saw a dripping in the rock, and the rock and the dripping made a hole. And he said, what did he say?
If water could puncture a rock, the Torah could puncture my mind.
That's what everyone says, but that's not what happened. Rabbi Kiva said, how did this happen? You know, water can't do this. How did this happen? Water can't do this. Now, Rabbi Kiva was smart. Rabbi Kiva knew that water could do it. Rabbi Kiva knew that 100 years of water could do that. So what was Rabbi Kiva's whole thing? So Rabbi Kiva really saw something differently here. Rabbi Kiva said, when you pour a drop of water on a rock, then you feel the rock. Do you feel any change whatsoever? No. So Rabbi Kiva said, so now, the first time there's no change whatsoever. Let me do it again. He poured it again, the second time. Was there any change ever? There was no change. There was no change, there was no change, there was no change. No person really, from one day to the next, could tell a change. But after some time, there is a change. Rabbi Kiva said, when he came home from school that day, Akiva said, I could do it. I don't see a change. My son's saying Beis and I'm saying Gimel. You know, like, hey, but I know something happened. I'm a flat rock right now, but I know something must have happened the first day, right? That's what Akiva said. That was his genius. Even though it's flat, you can't feel anything, but something must have happened. Something happens every single day. That was Rabbi Kiva. And that's how you have to feel about your learning. That's how everyone here has to feel about their learning. I say this about this shir. A guy comes into this shir the first couple of days, the first week, the first 2 weeks. What's he talking about? Like, what is he talking about? Like, you know, and then you see nothing. You see no change. And every day you see no change. Every day you see no change. But if you work at it, wow, all of you, when you came in the beginning of Gittin, flat rock, but now you guys are a hole. Yeah, you guys are a hole. And you never saw it coming. You never saw it happening. You never, ever saw it happening. But it happens. You have to let the, whoever knows sports, in Philadelphia, they talk about it. You gotta let the process happen, right? The process?
Trust the process.
Well, trust the process. You gotta trust the process. It happens. It's unbelievable how it happens. Take David Tasker. David, when he walked into the shir, David was not only a flat rock, it went up. Okay? And now there's a hole. And now there's a hole. He never saw it happening. He never saw it coming. Day to day to day to day, he never saw it coming. But it happens. I see the change in you guys. It's unbelievable, the change in you guys. There's some guys in here that the first couple weeks in this year, their great kasha was, Rebbe, what does Kuf Mem Lamed stand for? Right? What does it stand for? Get something right, okay? Shimon, get something right. What's Kuf Mem Lamed? Right, look at that, yeah. Yeah. And now they're asking real questions, you know, like, When did that change? You never saw it happening. You'll never see it happening. You don't even know that change happened. You don't even know it happened. But it happens. Trust the process. Not trust the process. Something I always say, but because I love it. I love it, I love it, I love it. And I got to tell you, some came over to the Chafetz Chaim. Now, you think Lubavitch made up "We Want Mashiach Now"? No, Lubavitch didn't make up Mashiach Now. Like, it's one of the things that we have to believe. It's one of the bases of Judaism. Lubavitch didn't make up "We Want Mashiach Now." But every couple of generations, say there's somebody who really is into Mashiach. These days, Lubavitch is really into Mashiach. Before World War II, who was into Mashiach? Chafetz Chaim was into Mashiach. Chafetz Chaim used to talk about Mashiach every day. Chafetz Chaim had a bag packed, you know, every night because Mashiach might be coming. He had a Shabbos suit and a hanging for, you know, he could put on if Mashiach comes. Chafetz Chaim was. Someone once came over to Chafetz Chaim and said to Chafetz Chaim, you know, I know you're waiting for Mashiach. I know, you know, you want Mashiach to come, but you know, Mashiach didn't come in the Vilna Gaon's generation. You can imagine how that was, and there was no Mashiach. Mashiach didn't come in Reb Akiva Eiger's generation. Reb Akiva didn't come when there was the Ksais Nesivus. The Mashiach didn't come. He expected Mashiach to come in this generation? It's a good kasha.
Didn't come.
What?
And it didn't come.
It didn't come, yeah. It's a good kasha. And now we have to ask ourselves the same question. You know, we just went through all our great gedolim. Reb Chaim Kamenetsky died, and the Stipler, and the Chaznish, and Reb Moshe Feinstein, and Reb Avadia, and who else? Okay, sorry, he's not up. Who else?
Baba Sali.
You're like, how could Mashiach come for us? Didn't come for them. Chafetz Chaim says, it's a pasuk at the end of this week's parsha. What's the pasuk at the end of this week's parsha? Perek Chav Hey, pasuk Mem Zion. I'm saying it for Yaakov, but okay. It says if a ger toshav or a guy gets rich, and you don't have any money, and you sell yourself to a ger toshav, really, you sell yourself to a guy. You sell yourself forever to a guy. Achar nimkar gulati alo. After he sold, one of his relatives should redeem him. Okay? One of his relatives should redeem him. O dodo, o ben dodo igleno, o mesheb sorry, mishpachta igleno. Someone should redeem him. But how do you redeem him? How do you set the price? So let's say he was sold for $50, 50 years before Yovel. So if they want to redeem him the day after he sold, how much do they have to give? $50. What made days work? If they want to redeem him 25 years after he sold, $25. If you want to redeem him a day before 50 years are up, how much should you redeem him for? A penny. Okay? Chafetz Chaim says, there's another thing that's going on in this pasuk. It's talking about us in Mashiach. It says, if we're sold, we are sold to the Goyim now. We are in Golos. We are sold to the Goyim. We are slaves to the Goyim. We're sold to the Goyim. And Mashiach has to come and redeem us. We have to redeem. Mashiach comes. In the beginning, it's very, very expensive. Though the Goyim can't do it. Though the Goyim being around can't do it. The Ksais being around can't do it. You know, it's really too expensive. Now, we're holding ikvus in the Mashiach. Now, it costs a penny. Now is the cheapest time. Now, if we have just a couple of gedolim, a couple of things, or if you learn in the Beis Medrash, we'll get redeemed. That's why today we have to say, we want Mashiach now. Because now is the easiest time to get redeemed, because we're really near the end. And the closer you get to the end, the cheaper it is. It used to be very expensive. Now it's very, very, very cheap. if one day you got you, one of you says, I'm not going to watch the Ranger game, I'll go into the Beis Medrash and learn, Mashiach could come. Mashiach could come. Now, you don't have to do that. Mashiach doesn't have those stories about you, okay? Did you watch yesterday's or did you learn?
I watched it for 4 days here.
Okay. You did? You're excited.
It lost. Like, I did it with it. So.
Okay. Don't say that. Why ruin it? Just say, yes, I learned. And
yes,
that's
I
it.
Learned.
Okay, good. Don't ruin it.
I was Yotzei with him.
What? He was Yeshriya. It's Yisachar's food, right? He watched the game, he learned. Okay. What do you do, Johnny?
I don't watch hockey.
What?
I don't know hockey.
Oh, okay. Okay. Let's go on. Perichav hei, pasuk lametes. V'chiyamach achicha imach, v'nimkarach, osave by avodas avid. If your friend, your brother gets poor, don't do avodas parach. And do him a favor, buy him for every ivory, and be good to him if he's yamuch. The Medrash here, interesting that the Medrash here says, Malva Hashem Chonendal. You know what Malva Hashem Chonendal means? Malva Hashem Chonendal? No. Malva Hashem. You become a Malva to Hashem if you do good for poor people. Hashem owes you. Hashem owes you. You do good for good people, for poor people. Hashem owes you. And the Medrash goes on and says, it says, Nosen Lechem Chol Basar. Hashem, why do you say that? Nosen Lechem Chol Basar. Oh, okay, good. I knew you'd get that one. Nosen Lechem Chol Basar. Hashem, he's the one who feeds us. Here's a poor person, and Eitan gives him food. So what Hashem's supposed to do it, and Eitan gave it. Now, remember, all our cases, A and B and C? So who's A here?
Izzy.
Who's A here? All I know is that Hashem is supposed to give Izzy food. So Eitan gives Izzy food. Therefore, Hashem owes Eitan. Remember, that's how it works? And therefore, Hashem owes Eitan. So therefore, Malva Hashem, Chonan Das. If you're a Malva to Chonan Das, you're a Malva to Hashem if you're good to a Dao. So it's unbelievable that Hashem owes you. Now, this saying of Malva Hashem Chonan Dao, the Chazal took it to mean everything, not only Chon and Dal, but this whole thing where money I spend for Shabbos doesn't go off the Cheshbon. It's also Malva Hashem Chon and Dal. It also came from the same thing. Different things I do don't come to the Cheshbon. Because Malva Hashem Chon and Dal. The things that Hashem is supposed to do for you. And if I do it, Hashem owes me. Hashem owes me. If I make a great yantif for Hashem, Hashem owes me for the yantif. That's what it is. There's a great story that, you know, the Rambam says, well, this the Rambam explains, the Rambam says, don't think that if you, yantif comes and you eat and drink and be merry, Hashem's going to pay you back. Oh, It's money for Yantif. Hashem repays me. The Rambam says, don't think that that's true. Only if you're Chonan Dal, if you invite poor people to your table, only if you take care of Hashem's peeps. Then he owes you. But if you take care of yourself, the Rambam calls it simchas kreso, the simcha of your stomach. Hashem's not repaying you for the simcha of your stomach. Hashem's not repaying you, oh, that sushi was good. No, if your guest at your table, who's really needy, says, oh, that sushi was good, Hashem says, whoa, I owe you for the sushi, yes?
Does it have to be guests at the table, or would spending, let's say, if I spend $100 on my talk, I give $100?
Same thing. It doesn't have to be your table. It can be your table. It's not big enough. But you have to make sure. Now, but the Dubna Magid gave a great mashal. You might know this mashal, but the Dubna Magid gave a great mashal to this. There was a man, a rich man. He had three sons. One little son was at home with him. His two other sons went across the ocean to do business. One became very rich. One never. He just couldn't do it. The son at home got engaged, and the father sent a letter to the rich one, and said, I want you guys to come to the wedding. I'll pay for everything. First class, seats on the plane. First class, and I'll pay for all your clothing, and I'll pay for everything. The rich son says, oh boy. And he buys first class tickets, and he buys the finest clothing for his children and everything. Then a couple days before they have to go, he says, oh, but my father told me my brother. So brother, he bought him economy, and he didn't give him any money for any clothing for his children, nothing. They all came to the airport, or to the boat thing, the airport. And the father was there, and the mechutin was there. The mechutin all came to meet the family. And the rich brother gets off in his clothing, in nice clothing, and they look great, and everyone's happy. And the poor brother gets off the plane, bedraggled after days in economy, and dirty clothing with holes in it. And the guy says to him, that's your son? The mechutin says, that's your son? He says, yes, that's my son. Okay. Then they have the wedding, and they have shev brachas, and then it's time to go home. So the rich brother comes to the father and says, okay, Dad, let's do the money now. You told me whatever I buy, whatever I do, you'll pay me. So please give me the money. So the father says, I'm giving you nothing. So he says, but you promised. So the father says, read me my letter. So he says, I got the letter. Whatever you do, l'chavad d'chasna, l'chavad me and d'chasna, I will repay you. If you let your brother come the way he looked and what you did to your brother, that means you didn't do it l'chavad me. You didn't do it l'chavad d'chasna. You did, like the Rambam says, simchas kreso. All you care about was yourself. I never promised you to pay you back what you do for yourself. I promise to pay you back what you do for me. You didn't do it for me, you did it for yourself. The Dubna Magid says the same thing, Yontif. You have a whole meal, Yontif, you buy a new suit and everything, then you say to Hashem, okay, you owe me for all this. Hashem says, no, I promised if you do it for me, if you do it for Yontif, if you do it for me, you do it for Yontif, you'd care about my other children, you'd care about your brothers. If you did only for yourself, I never promised you that. That's the Dubna Magid's Magid, the most beautiful mashal. Remember that. Shavuos is coming up. You guys don't have houses, but remember always, when you promise Yontif, get paid back. It's if you take care, if you do it, l'chavad Hashem, l'chavad Yontif, not l'chavad yourself. And I always say, all these girls come to my house, for shiduchim, and I say, so, do you do chesed? Oh yeah, and my family's so on chesed. Every Shabbos we have guests at our table. Every single Shabbos we have guests at our table. And I say, really? Who are your guests? So they say, well, all my parents' friends from shul. My parents are always inviting people over for Shabbos. I say to them, that's meaningless. When you invite your friend over for meal Shabbos, you're not doing chesed. You want yourself to have fun. Hey, I want to have a nice time, so I invite my friends. I don't want to sit there talk to my wife. We have nothing to talk about. You know, I would invite my friends. I want to have share a chunk with them, share a beer with them. Ah, but if your parents would wait till the end of show, if there's a poor guy there, he has no place to go, and wait to see if there's someone who doesn't, and then invite him, that's chesed. That's chesed. That's having guests over Shabbos. Inviting your friends over Shabbos is not any chesed. It's not guests for Shabbos. It's the poor people, the needy. That's who you have to invite for Shabbos, yes?
What if it really is chesed, but you still only do it to make yourself feel good that you're doing chesed?
Well, we always, the answer, there's a stock answer to that. Shalosh Shema Baruch Shema, right?
Yeah.
And the Chinuch says, if you do it Baruch Shema, and you get yourself used to doing it, you'll always do it.
You can also say that.
But it also says, if it stops there, and you never plan to do Lishma, it's only Lishma, then not Balishma.
You can also say that about your regular friends coming over.
Yeah, for sure. You're not doing any chesed. Your regular friends coming over to have a good time.
You can say if you talk Lishma, Balishma. That.
I want to talk. You're talking about a different mitzvah. You're talking about Mitzvah Shalosh Balishma. I'm talking about the mitzvah of chesed, mitzvah of inviting people to your house. Okay? You know, Kirav Rechokim. That's the biggest mitzvah. That's the biggest. You know, it's not only pouring food, but pouring Yiddishkeit. And you bring them over to your house. You want to share your Yiddishkeit with them. That's the biggest chesed. Okay? Have a great Shabbos.